ABCDEFGHIJKLMNOP QRST. Hey everybody, welcome to PQRST, the latest podcast to be put out into the interwebs. You can possibly hear my house cat behind me making herself comfortable. That's Hopeful. Everybody say hi, Hopeful. That was nice of you. She says hello back in her own little way. So, my name is WC. That's not my real name, but that's what I go by when I get on stage and I do stand-up comedy. And I thought, wow, podcasts are fun. I should do one. And there's other reasons why I'm doing a podcast. I'll get into those. But first, PQRST, what could that possibly be about? Well, there's two reasons. I came up with the idea thinking that we all know how the alphabet goes, and having five letters of the alphabet arranged in alphabetical order would be interesting and eye-catching and might even subconsciously make you think, I want to listen to this because my brain already recognizes that cadence. Hopefully that worked. The second reason for PQRST, the letters stand for something. It's an acronym. PQRST, parody, quips, rants, and storytelling. I know, it's pretty clever, isn't it? I thought so. My cat really, really wants some attention right now because, of course, I've started doing something that has nothing to do with her. So I'm going to try to give her some attention and yet stay focused on what I'm doing. And this will actually be useful for the whole purpose behind this podcast. I am a stand-up comedian, and I have been doing stand-up comedy for 3 entire years, which makes me something of an expert, let me tell you. No, I've been doing this long enough to realize that I don't actually know anything. I know enough to know that I don't know anything. And I recently happened to, actually my friend and fellow comic Jeff Cohn told me about it wasn't a podcast, a recording that somebody made of Ari Shaffir. He's a comic too, so we're alike in that way, at the Comedy Store in L.A. It's like 3 hours worth of fantastic comic advice, and one of the things that Shaffir says several times is, keep doing stuff, get on out there, go on interviews, write a script, do a podcast, and tried writing a script once, and that was painful, and I do interviews when I can find them, but something I can do that I have control over, because I like control, is doing a podcast, so this is that. And we move the cat once again. She really likes attention. So that's fun. For the next time I do this podcast, maybe I'll just shut the door and leave her outside. But this is actually great. The cat interruptions, me forgetting what it was I was going to talk about, all of this is good because the thing about doing a podcast, at least for me, at least for now, is that I need to practice several things. The writing that I do, when I go up on stage, I do my jokes. I think the writing is getting somewhere. Not that I've arrived, but I think I've got some fairly original stuff that is fairly funny. But I don't get up on stage a lot. There are plenty of open mics in Denver, which is where I am, by the way. Don't know if I mentioned that. Mile High City. And if you are an aspiring comic who is in Denver, there is a website, 5280comedy.com, /, no, / open mics. So, in case I screwed that up the first time, which I did, 5280comedy.com / open mics. And there's a list of all the open mics in town, and there are several every night except Saturday, because for some reason we all celebrate the Sabbath or something, and there are no open mics that night. It is well possible for someone who is willing to do a little traveling around town to do a dozen open mics a week, or at least try to. But I am married, I have a full-time job making videos, I have a child who is going to be born, God willing, in January, and it's just not realistic. One mic a week, maybe, I can do. I can't get to a bunch of open mics. And there are a bunch of comics in town who would say, yeah, if you were really serious, you would make it happen. And that's fine for them. It's not something that I can do. But I can do this. There are no open mics at 9 in the morning on a Friday, but I can do a podcast at 9 in the morning on a Friday. And what this allows me to do is practice my timing, practice my pace. One of the problems I have when I'm on stage, and I know this, is that I go too fast. And hopefully in the previous 5 minutes of this podcast, I haven't gone too fast. And I'm going to try to watch that and just slow the heck down, realize that I can relax, I can get out of my head, and just have fun with this. Because I will go up on stage, I'll tell a joke that has a funny punchline, but I'll tell it a little too fast so that people have a hard time understanding what I'm saying. That makes it really easy to get the joke. Or I will tell the joke, and then when people don't laugh right away because they don't have the quickest wits in the West, I think, the joke's not funny. I need to tell the next one. And so I tell the next one. And if they don't laugh right away at that, I tell another. And I'm basically teaching my audiences not to laugh, which is a bad idea as a comic. You really, really want to teach your audiences to laugh and not to not laugh. So if you don't get anything else out of this podcast today, teach your audiences to laugh. So I need to slow the heck down. There's something else that I need to do, and I've heard that this is very common for comics as they're getting started. The first few years, we use too many words, and I can't speak for every comic, but I really, really struggle with this, that I come up with a joke, and where I could tell it in 5 words, I tell it in 27, thinking that the more words I have, the funnier it's going to be, and it's exactly the opposite. I need to be more concise, I need to not try and impress the audience with my amazing vocabulary or my intelligence. They don't care about either of those things. They want to laugh. And I'll talk more about this in subsequent podcasts. There we go, right there, the word subsequent, when I could have said future. I'll talk more about this in future podcasts, but I got some excellent advice after getting to do a set at Comedy Works in Denver. A guy who had opened for John Lovitz, according to him, and I believe he was telling me the truth, stopped me after the show, said, listen, if I had some constructive criticism, would you want it? And he said, you know, you don't have to prove to us how smart you are. And he was right, and I'm very thankful. I wish I'd written his name down, because I would like to thank him by name, but he was so right. I use too many words, and I use I use the word subsequent when I could use the word future. So I'm trying to get less wordy. Because that's a grammatical sentence. I'm trying to use fewer words. I'm trying to relax and just talk like people talk. Because if I'm nervous, that's what I go to is, hey, I'm smart. I can use big words. Here we go. And so this podcast, the fact that I'm recording this right now, that I know other people will be able to listen to it, and perhaps a few actually will, is different from if I was just sitting here talking to the bathroom mirror, which I also do. Doesn't everybody? But no, this is being recorded. This will go out into the world. And so it's different. For those that have not done comedy, there is a huge difference between practicing your jokes in the car on the way to work and doing your jokes at an open mic, even an open mic where nobody is listening to you. It seems strange. It's like, well, if nobody's listening, nobody's listening in the car either. What's the difference? But I can practice my jokes all I want to in the car. I don't know if they're funny until I've actually bounced them off an audience, even an audience that is comprised of, you know, other comics or people that have tuned me out and don't even care. It's different, and I'm hoping that recording a podcast will be different, and it certainly feels like it is. As much as possible with this, I'm going to try to keep it live. I'm not going to stop tape and then start over again to erase mistakes. I mean, if my dog starts throwing a fit downstairs or the sprinklers go off or something. Do we have sprinklers? We probably should. I don't know. I'll ask my wife. I'll stop it in case of emergency. But for the most part, I want to go out live. It's not going to go out live. It's going to go out recorded. But I want the recording to have the sense of being live, to where you get to hear, lucky you, exactly what I sound like when I don't edit myself to make myself as good as possible. Because there's yet another benefit for me in doing a podcast, and that is greater access to being spontaneous, being in the moment, if I could use a word that doesn't have 12 syllables. I practice the heck out of my sets, whether I'm doing 3 minutes at Comedy Works or I have an opportunity in less than 3 weeks. I'm going on stage at the Lakewood Cultural Center, and I'm going to be telling jokes for an hour, God willing. And in either case, I practice and I practice and I practice so that I know what joke comes after what joke and where I want to hit the punchlines and how long I want to wait before a punchline. And that's my process. That's what I need to do. My goal is to not ever have to refer to notes when I'm on stage. And nothing against comics that refer to notes on stage, at least with open mics. In my humble opinion, if you're doing a showcase and you have to go look at your notes, you're not rehearsing enough. But that's just me. But I want to get to that point, because if I know what joke I'm telling next, I feel like it helps me get a little out of my head. There's no worry about, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget the next thing, and then I'll be lost, and then I'll be standing on stage with 5 minutes remaining and not have any jokes. And since I've seen that happen, I have seen guys get on stage and forget everything they were going to say, I would really rather not have to go through that. But what I lose in rehearsing and rehearsing and rehearsing and rehearsing, I lose some of the level of being spontaneous, of being in the moment. I very rarely do crowd work, at least in the 3 years that I've been doing comedy, which is, you know, a huge long time. I'll tell you a secret, it's not long at all. I've, like, taken 2 steps into the world of stand-up in the last 3 years. But I don't do a lot of crowd work. It would be great, though, if somebody shouted something that I could use to say, yeah, oh yeah, and you know this, and to go off on a tangent, go off in another direction, and then come back to what I had planned to tell jokes about. I would benefit from being a little more spontaneous, being a little more in the moment, and that's what this is. I told you in the beginning, anybody out there still listening? Fantastic, I love you so much. I told you in the beginning that we will have parody, we will have quips, we will have rants, we will have storytelling. Well, I have a rant prepared for you, at least what I'm going to rant about. I have a couple stories to tell based on stuff that happened to me this very week, and I plan to end each podcast with a parody song, because I love music, and because I'm constantly writing parody songs, and so why not give you the gift, hopefully it'll be a gift for you, of listening to my dulcet tones. And in all seriousness, when I'm on stage, parody songs usually hit. Other jokes that I write, things that don't involve me singing, they might work, they might not, but pretty much everything I've done that involved a song, people really liked. So, if you hang on till the end of this podcast, I'm going to sing a song for you. I might even include a little piano playing. Don't expect that every week, because I can write a song and sing it, like, within an hour of coming up with the idea, but to actually play it on the piano requires practice and such. So, I don't have a ton of piano songs that I can sing with prepared, but I will do the ones that I have and sprinkle those in occasionally. I'd said all that to say, lost my train of thought, here we go back again, woo-woo, that I did not practice what I was going, I know what I'm going to rant about, I know the stories I'm going to tell, and I thought a little bit about what I wanted to say, but I didn't practice this before I started recording. I honestly had no idea that I would get 15 minutes in and not even have started my rant yet, and so this is good for me. Hopefully it's good for you. Hopefully this is at least sort of entertaining, because I would like to entertain you. But if a year goes by and I've done 52 of these and I have no followers besides my wife and my parents and my sister and maybe the guy down the street, this will still be useful for me. But seriously, my wife, my parents, my sister, a guy down the street, tell other people about this podcast, because then other people will join and we'll all be cooler as a result. Right. Hopeful. Remember, my house cat just came over and reminded me that I haven't gotten to my rant yet. So, here that is. I have a few words to say about DirecTV. And I'll start by saying this. A year ago, if you had asked me, hey, what do you think about DirecTV? I would have said, is that the satellite company? They're up against cable? Yeah, I don't care. A year ago, I had no feelings whatsoever about DirecTV versus cable. When I lived on my own, I had cable. Now that I've gotten married, I have a wife to talk to, and so we just have an antenna. It picks up local TV. I can watch Broncos games and the news, And then we have Netflix and Hulu and YouTube. And so I don't care about cable or DirecTV. Their battle does not affect my life. Or it didn't. Here is the thing, and I'm looking forward to ranting about this because I've had no one really to rant about it to except my wife and a few people on YouTube, not YouTube, on Facebook, who would care to hear me. But it's not the same putting pictures on Facebook as it is being able to talk about it. DirecTV has this mailing campaign that they've been doing for, I think, about a year. I don't remember when I got the first one, but here's how I was ushered into this new era. I get a card in the mail. It looks like a birthday card. And I think, wow, somebody, I mean, it's not my birthday, somebody just wanted to say they loved me or invite me to something. This is fun. There's no return address. I open the birthday card. It's an advertisement for DirecTV. This is deception. You are making me, I'm talking to DirecTV now, you are making me think that I've received something fun. I open it up. It's an advertisement. That made me angry, but I thought, all right, you know, companies do marketing things. This is stupid. I can just rip it up and be annoyed at them. And I was annoyed at them. About the time my annoyance had started to ebb away, and I'd even forgotten that things were happening, I get an envelope in the mail that says, final notice. Now, I'm sorry, if you are having a good day, and you open your mail, and there's an envelope there that says final notice, even if, like me, you don't have any bills that are currently unpaid, there is a moment where you're like, oh, crap, what is this? Am I in trouble? Am I going to lose the house? Final notice? Oh, no! And I rip open the final notice, and it's another advertisement for DirecTV. Final notice that you're about to miss out on your opportunity to take advantage of our fantastic product. DirecTV, if you're listening, you are lying to me. This is deception, and this is awful. I have gotten at least two final notices in the mail. I've gotten at least two of these cards or what look like wedding invitations. Every few months, DirecTV sends me something that looks like something else in the apparent belief that being disappointed will make me want their product. This is the stupidest thing in the world. This is even dumber than that Burger King, the set of Burger King ads that had that giant papier-mâché king head that was the scariest thing I'd seen in a very long time. I thought that was crazy, but that at least had some whimsy to it. This is just stupid, and it's awful. And as I said when I started this rant a couple minutes ago, I didn't care at all about DirecTV a year ago. Now I care. DirecTV, I hate you. I am doing this rant. If no one gets anything from this podcast in all the episodes that air, besides the fact that I hate DirecTV, and everybody listening to this, you should seriously consider whether or not you should also hate DirecTV, because they are sending these things to you. They want to deceive you and disappoint you and make you buy their product. Not only is it deceptive, it's ridiculous. What marketing department idiot thought, here's an idea. I'll make everybody a little sad, and then they'll want to watch TV. DirecTV, you are morons. And I absolutely, 100% loathe your product and will do everything within my power to take business away from you. Now, the fact that everything within my power involves this podcast and a couple hundred Facebook friends, notwithstanding, that is my current policy on DirecTV. And that's the first rant of PQRST. Hey, now we're making some progress. I feel better having got that off my chest. And I will say that the rant just now, I was much more in the moment than I was when I started the podcast and was introducing things and telling you all about my cat. So I think that's progress. Let's see. Parody comes later. I've been doing quips throughout. We had the rant. Storytelling. Yeah, I'm actually really excited. I didn't know what story I was going to tell for my first podcast. I've only been thinking about this idea for like a week. If you'd asked me a week ago, I probably would have told you, oh, how I got into comedy. And that will be featured on some podcast sooner or later. But I had a very interesting time on stage this week. There was Monday night, and then there was Tuesday night. And they were two very, very different nights. A tale of two stand-ups, if you will. Because Monday night, my wife had a scrapbooking thing at the house, and I was like, hey, I'm going to go do an open mic. And she let me, because she's cool about that. And I went down to the Goosetown Tavern on Colfax, where Jeff Albright hosts an open mic on Mondays. And he is a fantastic person, and I like him a lot. And I enjoy getting time on stage at his open mics, his things, as they officially call them. And I went down, and I got on the list, and show started a little after 8, and I was up, I don't know, by about 9:15, 9:20, and I was the 17th or 18th comic, I don't know, there had been a bunch of comics before. And now some open mics, there's not really an audience, per se. I mean, I've yet to do an open mic where nobody is sitting there, you know, where I'm talking to an empty room, but if there's only a half dozen people sitting in the audience and all of them are the other comics waiting for their turn, you basically don't have an audience. I don't know about other cities. I don't know about LA or New York or Pacoima, but as far as Denver goes, comics are fairly polite. I have not seen anybody booed at an open mic or shouted down. I've seen heckling. That's yet another podcast topic. I've really not experienced heckling myself. I've seen it. But that's usually somebody who's drunk at a good show, you know, showcase, and they're drunk and they want to help. As far as open mics, people are usually fairly polite. They don't pretend to listen. If they don't care, they don't care. But they don't actively try to bring you down. This open mic some open mics, there's just kind of a dead audience. This open mic had a live audience. There were some people there. They might have been there to see other comics. They might have just wandered in, you know, to the tavern, whatever. But they were there to see a show. They weren't comics. They were just audience members and looking to have some fun, which is cool because that's a better crowd. That's the chance of genuine laughter. It's not that you can't get a group of other comics to laugh, but a group of other comics, A, they're thinking about their own sets and not you. Two, they've probably heard your jokes before or something like them. You know, if you're very new, chances are your stuff is not breakout original, I've never heard this before. And three, they're playing Words with Friends or Bejeweled. So when you have people that are sitting in the audience that want to hear what you have to say, that's a good open mic. I enjoy that. However, and the crowd was a good one. They were laughing at what people had to say. Not everybody got laughs, but more people got laughs than didn't. And so I had every hope that I would get up and get some laughs. I did not. I'm working on a set about superheroes in the hopes of impressing somebody down at Denver Comic Con and maybe getting some stage time at Denver Comic Con next year. It's a long shot, I think, but, you know, why not? And so I did some jokes about Superman, and really nobody laughed. There were a couple... my friend Jeff Cohn, who had gone up before me, he was very gracious and laughed a couple times. And I like to think that he laughs not at stuff he doesn't find funny, because, you know, we're both serious about this. We're both doing comedy. We both kind of have an agreement that, listen, if you say something that's funny, I will laugh, even if I'm the only one in the room that laughs. If you say something that's not funny, I'm not going to laugh at it, which I want. I don't need people laughing at stuff that's not funny, because that might trick me into thinking that a joke is funny when it's not, and that's not of any value to me. So, hey, listen, audience members out there, you come to see a show, you see me on stage, if it's not funny, please, you don't need to feel obligated to laugh. Pity laughs do nothing for me. I won't speak for other comics, but I'm good without. Anyway, Jeff laughed. There were a couple times where he laughed, nobody else did. Hopefully it was because he thought the jokes were funny. The one I ended with, Superman versus Aquaman kind of thing, that got some mild chuckles. But for the most part, I had 3 minutes or so, and nobody laughed. It was a valuable experience, because as I'm driving home, you know, once I got over the, oh, nobody laughed, I shouldn't be telling jokes anymore, once I got past that, which I always know will pass, I started thinking about the set, and it was like, okay, what did I hear? You know, when it bounces off an audience, it's different, like I said, I don't know, 20 minutes ago from bouncing it off the bathroom mirror. I said, what can I learn from this? What can I do differently? And I switched something up. The jokes were still in the same order. I was doing kind of the same thing, but my setup was a little different. And I got to try that setup 24 hours later at Comedy Works. There is a thing in this town, in Denver, that, by the way, if you are an aspiring stand-up comic, you don't know about this, this will be valuable to you. Comedy Works has a hotline. And if you go to 5280comedy.com/openmics and look at Tuesday, there's a thing called New Talent Night. And there's a number that you can call. And when you call, you will hear the show... I think he's called the producer, the guy that picks the talent coordinator. You will hear talent coordinator Deacon Gray saying, hey, welcome to the, wow, I call this every week. I should know what he says. Welcome to the new talent night for Hotline for Comedy Works. This is where you leave your name if you want to be on New Talent Night. We get over 150 calls each week. Only about 11 people get up each week. So, you have to be patient, keep calling in, 8 to 10 weeks, you will get on. The way this works is, it doesn't matter if you have never done comedy anywhere ever in your entire life, you can do comedy at Comedy Works. You call the hotline every week, and believe me, you want to keep calling every week, because if you go a couple weeks without calling, it's going to take a couple more weeks for your turn to come up. Deacon is great about this. I'm not sure what his spreadsheet process is, but... from everything I've seen, it's very fair, it's very reasonable, and everybody who goes to the trouble of calling in over and over and over and over does get on once their rotation comes up. And anybody, my wife, who is funny, she's funnier than she realizes, and I am looking forward to the day when she gets on stage, my wife, if she was calling in sooner or later, she would get a slot at Comedy Works. I mean, this is a stage where... Josh Blue gets up and does comedy. Dave Chappelle gets up and does comedy. More on that in a second. You know, I don't know if Brian Regan has done Comedy Works downtown, but I got to see him at Comedy Works South. You know, Brian Regan, who just sold out Red Rocks a couple weeks ago, and I got to see that too because my wife and my best friend John are awesome. Anyway, that was a side trip. That was fun. Now we're back on the main road. If you call in every week, eventually you get on. And first-timers who have never been on stage at Comedy Works, regardless of whether or not, you know, they're 10-year veterans other places, if it's the first time on stage at Comedy Works, you get 2 minutes. And I highly encourage anybody who has thought about doing comedy, who just wants to say, hey, I did stand-up once, write a minute and a half worth of jokes and call the hotline, come on and do Comedy Works. It is... every time I've been privileged to get up there, and I've done the New Talent Nights 4 or 5 times now, and there used to be a clean contest for a while that I got to do once, and there's a new faces contest every year that I've done twice. Every time I've gotten up at Comedy Works, the crowd is always fantastic. The downside to this fantastic crowd is thinking that, you know, you get up and you do your couple minutes at Comedy Works, people laugh and they really have a great time and they applaud when you leave. The downside is the tendency to think, that shows how good I am. This proves that I'm a fantastic comic. Just listen to that laughter. And the same way that the fact that nobody laughed Monday night at the open mic doesn't mean the jokes I told aren't funny. Because there's a lot of things that factor in. The crowd may just not have been interested in superhero jokes. I may have been talking too fast. I may not have given them enough time to get the jokes. The crowd may have wanted dirty material, which most open mic comics do dirty material. A lot of genital jokes and marijuana jokes, especially since it's Denver. And if the crowd wants that, and I get up and I say, so, Superman, they may not care just because of the material. There's a lot of things that factor in. And this is not just me saying this. Ari Shaffir, the Comedy Store stuff that I talked about a while ago. Dave Schwenson has a fantastic book of Comedy FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. And, you know, veterans will say sometimes, you know, stuff doesn't work with a particular crowd. Stuff that they know works. and I was doing jokes that are basically brand new. And I've heard veterans say, listen, until you've done a joke 30 or 50 or 100 times, you don't know if it really works or not. So I say all that to say that the fact that people didn't laugh Monday night does not necessarily prove that the jokes weren't funny. So it's like the example I like using is figure skating competitions where the very lowest score gets thrown out because it might be the, you know, Russian judge who just doesn't like the outfit that the skater has on or whatever. But the other thing they do in figure skating competitions is throw out the highest score, which could be the American judge who gives the highest score because it's an American figure skater. Not that America would ever do that, but as an example. Comedy Works is kind of like the American figure skating judge, if you will. If I was to leave the show I did Monday night and think, I'm not funny because nobody laughed, that would be a bad idea. If I walked away from the Tuesday night show going, I am fantastic, I've arrived as a comic because everybody thought I was funny, that would also be a bad idea. Because it's not a normal show. The audience really wants to like you, they've been prepped to like you, and as far as this past Tuesday night, there was an extra reason why the audience was excited, and that was because Dave Chappelle showed up. Now, it's my understanding, I've been told by a number of different people, that Dave Chappelle really likes Comedy Works. And it's several people have said, usually it's the host that's starting up a Comedy Works show, says, you know, this stage is one of the most popular venues in the country. It's really easy to say that, so I don't know if it's 100% absolutely true, but a lot of comics coming through town, if they're going to do something on a stage, Comedy Works seems to be the stage they look to get onto. But I do believe that, at least in Dave Chappelle's case, it is one of the stages he really likes. One of the last specials he did, he filmed at Comedy Works. He's doing Red Rocks this weekend. As I'm recording this, it's Friday morning. I think he's got a show at Red Rocks tonight. And so anyway, I show up just because it was the Tuesday night. I had been calling into the hotline, and it was my turn on rotation, along with 11 other lucky folks. And I show up, and there's this buzz of excitement in the air. And Deacon Gray, the talent coordinator, he is running around, and he's got this grin on his face. It's like he knows what's coming. He's really excited. He tells us comics that there's going to be a special guest, and there's often a special guest. But this was apparently an extra special guest. And he told, there were two people in the back hallway at Comedy Works who were the newbies, who were getting up for the very first time and on that stage. And he told both of them, because they were standing near each other, you guys are going to remember this night forever, or something to that effect. Anyway, he wouldn't tell us who it was. The host, Matt Monroe, who is a fantastic MC, he gets up and he starts the show. He's about 3 minutes into the show. And the way it works is, at least with the new talent night, there will be 14, 15 comics. And there's a list in the back hallway that the Deacon puts up to say, this is the running order for the show. The host gets to open with like 8 to 10 minutes of comedy. Then they will have a B-lister, somebody who gets 4 minutes. Let me back up. If it's your first time ever doing New Talent Night at Comedy Works, you get 2 minutes, like I said. Every time after that, you are considered C-list, which makes you get 3 minutes on the stage instead of two. At some point, if you are good enough, I believe, I don't know the process, but I would assume it has to do with talent, you get moved up to the B-list. And B-listers get 4 minutes instead of three, and B-listers also get a little more of the opportunities for, you know, if they sign up for standby, they might get somebody's slot that doesn't show up. It's just, it offers you a little more in the way of possibilities at Comedy Works. If nothing else, you get 4 minutes. And so the host gets 10, then they'll have a B-lister do four, maybe two of the B-listers, and then a couple C-listers. So I was fourth on the list after the host started, you know, with the not lesser comics, but the comics getting less time. I was fourth. And so Matt Monroe is about 5 minutes into his 10-minute set, and Dave Chappelle walks through the back door of Comedy Works and into the green room. And I will admit, I had to look a second time to confirm, because like, oh yeah, wow. Because, you know, sometimes the special guest is somebody I've never heard of, not because they aren't well-known, but because I don't get around some comedy circuits. If comics are doing blue material, also known as dirty material, I don't have a big problem with that. If you're making people laugh, you're making people laugh. It's not what I grew up with. More on that in another podcast, probably. But I'm not a huge fan of dirty jokes. And so I don't look for opportunities to see comics that are doing dirty material. So some of the comics that are special guests, I don't know them. So the fact that Deacon said, hey, we've got a special guest, I didn't get really excited because the odds were pretty good it was somebody I didn't know. Dave Chappelle, of course, I have heard of. You know, he had a show. He was in Robin Hood Men in Tights. He was in Con Air. If he heard this list that I just listed, he'd probably be laughing his butt off because I'm sure he's done a bunch more things and a bunch more recent things. But that's what I know from Dave Chappelle. But it's somebody that I've seen on television who just walked into the green room. And then I realized, because I thought initially that wasn't what I realized. You see how that was a train wreck? This is good for me to practice. So Dave Chappelle has walked into the green room, as I've said before. And my initial assumption was that we would have the regular show and he would headline at the end. Because that's generally what they do. The special guest, hey, we've got a special guest, and here he is, you know, at the end of the show. They did something different this time, for whatever reason. Matt and Dave were co-hosts. So Matt finished his set and he introduced the guy that was doing 4 minutes, the B-lister, Peter Cohen. And Peter gets up and does his 4 minutes, and then Matt comes back on and says, hey, we've got somebody special, and Dave Chappelle walks out onto the stage. Of course, the audience, who did not know that he was coming, that he was there, just are beside themselves. I think he got a standing ovation, and, you know, he was welcome to it. And they riff for a couple minutes, and then introduce the first C-lister. And that's when I realize, okay, Mr. WC, who's been doing comedy for all of 3 years, you get to follow Dave Chappelle tonight. Because everybody on the list got to follow Dave Chappelle Tuesday night. And that was very interesting, especially considering 24 hours earlier I had gone up on stage and bombing is not the right term for it, because apparently if nobody boos you, if nobody's throwing glasses at you, you haven't really bombed. But I didn't make anybody's day either. I really didn't get any solid laughs. And now I get to go up after Dave Chappelle. And that was, there was a very interesting moment for me in that moment, because I've recently been working on owning a stage. And that can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. What it means to me is not having to crush or kill every time you go on stage. Boy, we use some very violent imagery, comics do. Crushing it, or killing it, or laying them out. This is when people really, really laugh. And it's great when you can kill on stage. It's great when you can crush it. I don't know that I've ever actually done that. Maybe I have too high standards for myself, but I feel like while I've had excellent sets, or I've at least had good sets, I've never made anybody laugh so hard that they almost wet themselves. You know, I don't think I've experienced people laughing so hard that their sides were hurting. Anyway, I've been doing comedy for 3 years. I'm not at a crushing kind of level. But that doesn't mean I can't own the stage. For me, that means that if I go out on stage, I'm here to give you a good time. I'm here to show you to have fun. You may not come along. I may not have the best night, but I have every right to be out here for the 3 minutes or 10 minutes, or in the case of October 7th, the hour that I'm on stage. This is my stage. I don't want to be arrogant about that. I don't want to be like, I'm better than all of you. No, not that at all. I have something to offer that I hope you're going to enjoy. I'm trying to serve, but this is my spotlight. This is my arena. This is where I get to put on a show. And maybe it'll work like I want it to. Maybe it won't. Maybe you'll enjoy it. Maybe you won't. This is my stage. A little bit about that. An analogy for owning the stage. Because, you know, people might not understand what I'm talking about. Because if you've really never been on stage, if that's, you know, public speaking, I'd rather die. Which apparently is the way that works, because people are more afraid of public speaking than of death. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. But pretty much everybody knows what I'm talking about from one side or other of the experience. If I say asking a girl out, guys know from it from doing the asking, girls know from being asked, I certainly hope. Well, if you are in a position that you want to ask a girl out, and you're planning on doing so, but oh my gosh, if she says no, I'm going to be crushed, don't ask her out, because that is not fair to the askee. Another way to put it is, if you can't, this is to guys who would be doing the asking, if she saying no would ruin you, would devastate you, would just, you know, totally kill you, and not in the good stand-up way, don't ask, because it's unfair. And, you know, I can imagine being, from the girl's perspective, because I know they know. Guys, you may think that they can't tell, but they can tell whether or not you will be totally devastated if they say no. And, A, it makes it more likely to say no. I mean, it would for me if I was a female. And, two, it's just so unfair. And so that translates into the comedy arena. And hopefully the cat didn't just hit the microphone. That translates into the comedy arena. If I go on stage and your laughing or not laughing will determine whether or not I can live with myself, I don't have the right to be on stage. I need to deal with that before I get up. So that's owning the stage. And most people have probably seen it, maybe not at a comedy show, but at a talent show or a recital, you know, when the poor kid gets on stage and they're so nervous or they don't know their stuff, and it makes the audience uncomfortable. You know, I would much rather watch a comic get on stage who's not funny but who is confident than watch a comic get on stage who is funny but isn't sure that they have the right to be up there. You know, the comic who says, well, okay, I'm gonna tell some jokes and I hope I don't suck, I've already tuned out, because that's painful, that is uncomfortable. That is the opposite of owning the stage. And that was a long, long diatribe right there, long bunny trail. But as I realized that I'm going to be following Dave Chappelle, the thought struck me, okay, you know how we talked about owning the stage? How can I do that tonight? I didn't get any laughs last night, and now I'm following Dave Chappelle. There was a part of me, honestly, for a brief second, I thought about just leaving. But that would be very unprofessional, and I would like to be taken seriously in this. And, you know, I wasn't about to do that, but that would have been the easiest course of action, just to run away. When I rejected that course of action, the second idea was, okay, well, I could get on stage and, you know, laugh at myself. You know, maybe like something like, well, all right, so I'm going to tell some jokes, and don't worry, Dave Chappelle will be back in a couple minutes. And that would not have been owning the stage. That would have been a cop-out. It would have been, okay, sorry, you have to listen to me for a little bit, but please don't leave, you know? And that's BS. That, if I'm going to get up and do that, I shouldn't be doing comedy. There is such a thing as being too arrogant, of course. So, you know, I could have gotten up and said, well, isn't it nice that Dave decided to open for me tonight? Here's the good stuff. And if I really mean that, and I'm not, you know, being facetious, if I'm not laughing at myself, of course I could be too arrogant. I don't think that's a huge problem for me, because I'm struggling just to own the stage at all. But I had the choice. I had the choice of apologizing for the fact that I wasn't Dave Chappelle, or going up and saying, you know what, you get me for 3 minutes, and here we go. And I did that. It's a comic, kind of a comic staple that if you're smart as a comic, you try to get a laugh in the first 10 seconds of getting on stage. And that's one of the pitfalls for new comics. It's one of the things that kind of marks you as an amateur. If you get up and you're fumbling around with, hey, wow, it's great to see everybody here tonight, and you having a good time and all that. Especially if you've got a short set, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, get a laugh right out of the gates. Sweetheart, that's the microphone. Yes, thank you, Hopeful. You don't have to eat it. You want to laugh right out of the gates. And I had written a joke that I thought might get a laugh, but this is, Comedy Works is a showcase. You don't want to do brand new material at a showcase unless you're a really established comic, that I am not. So I wanted to do stuff that I felt had a good chance of working. So I wrote a joke on the spot while I was waiting to be introduced. And I went out on stage, and I was like, wow, what are you going to do for the rest of the week? You've peaked on Tuesday night, which got a laugh. And I said, you know, Friday's going to be like, oh, hell no, which got another laugh. And then I did my 3 minutes The same Superman jokes that I had done the night before with a bit of a twist to, I think, make them more palatable. And I think the twist works, not even because people were laughing, but just having bounced that version off an audience, it felt different, it felt better, made more sense. And I've been telling this very long story, but it's my podcast, I've been telling this very long story to make, not even to make the point, just to share, man, Monday night was not great, but I'm glad I went. Tuesday night was fantastic, and I'm glad I went. And they were both very valuable. If I hadn't gone up Monday night and listened to the Sounds of Silence, I probably would have gotten laughs at Comedy Works, because you have to work really hard for nobody to laugh at Comedy Works. But it would have been less of a thing. It was a better set because I had taken the stage Monday night. But I'm very proud of myself to get up Tuesday and shake Dave Chappelle's hand as he leaves the stage, and I go on the stage and yet say, here I am, and I'm going to tell you some jokes. That was progress for me. And a year ago, I couldn't have done that. I'm not sure what I would have done, but it wouldn't have been that. And so, yeah, that was the story I wanted to tell. And I really appreciate those that are listening. I really appreciate those that are still listening. This may be a fantastically interesting podcast, or this may be like, oh, this guy really likes the sound of his own voice. Because that is also true. That, I can assure you, is true. But for those that are listening, it's fun to talk about this. If you are considering doing comedy, if you've ever thought, man, I'd like to try stand-up sometime, absolutely, absolutely do it. I hesitate to recommend Comedy Works for someone who's never, ever done stand-up, only because if you've never tried the jokes on an audience, you don't know if they're at all funny. And Comedy Works is a showcase. The idea is that you get up with something you know you have to offer. Let me try that again in a way the sentence structure would make sense. The idea is you get up knowing you have something to offer. That was better. I think we'll go with that. So I hesitate to say, try this for your first time ever. But I also hesitate to say, just go to any open mic for your first time ever. You can. If you're thick-skinned, if you have no fear of public speaking, just that, as I've been saying, as you've been listening, you've heard that comedy open mics, there's no guarantee of laughter. There is absolutely no guarantee of laughter. And if I had done regular open mics the first 6 months, first year, I probably would have quit. I would have assumed, oh, see, this proves that I don't have what it takes, and so I'm done here. What I would suggest is kind of a hybrid, if you will. There are around town, I think there's one at the Mercury Cafe. If you look around, you know, coffee shops will have them. There are open mics for musicians. And that's a great place, assuming they don't mind somebody getting up and doing comedy. That is a great place to try stand-up for the first time. In fact, the first time I ever did stand-up was a mic like that, which I'll talk about in future shows. But the reason that's better than a comic open mic is because people that show up to see musicians, I guess there's more of an understanding that the musicians getting up might be new to their craft. They might be doing a song they just wrote yesterday. It's more of an easygoing atmosphere. People are more inclined to want to support you, to want to be friendly about it. And so it's a great place to go if you just want to do it once. Absolutely, do it once. And if you never do it again, hey, you can still say you did stand-up comedy once. Because it's something that I think 99 out of 100 people think about doing, and one person in 100, maybe in 1,000, ever actually does even one time. It's like when people say that they thought about writing a book or writing a story. Write it. Don't think about, can I get it published? Don't think about, how long is it supposed to be? Find the time and write it. You will be a better person for having gotten the story out of you onto paper. And everybody thinks about, has a story in them, has a story they want to write. 1% of people actually do. The writing might be more like 10%, but certainly for stand-up, it's 1% or far less than 1%. So, you know, you want to be a 1%er? Get up somewhere and do some stand-up. Another idea I've heard about is a place that does karaoke. Don't just do this, I wouldn't suggest, but ask the guy running the karaoke before the show starts, hey, if I got up and instead of doing a song, did a couple minutes of stand-up, would that be okay? If he's cool with it, if she's cool with it, do it. Give the crowd a break from horrible singers and be, you know, telling horrible jokes. This, because everybody's first time, everybody's jokes are horrible. Paul Reiser, who I think is pretty darn funny, has said that the first time he did comedy in college, he had 4 minutes of material and he got 2 laughs. And that's actually pretty good for a first time. So get up and do it. And if, like me, and I'll talk about my first time experience on another podcast, if, like me, you have so much fun the first time that you want to keep doing it, then keep doing it. But be smart about it, and whatever you're doing in life, if I can leave you with one thing, and I'm actually going to leave you with a parody song, because that's the last thing for the podcast today, but if I can leave you with one thing before I sing, own the stage. Whatever your stage is, if you're a plumber, if you're a teacher, if you are a pilot, if you are me, I don't know. I hope you're not, because I'm busy being me. If you're Batman, give me a call if you're Batman. I have so many questions. But seriously, whatever you do, whatever stage of life you're in, own that stage, because you matter, and you are the best you could possibly be, or at least you're the only you get to be. So why not make the best of it? All right, I am going to give you a parody song just to end the podcast. The podcast I thought would be 30 minutes, that's closing in on an hour. I appreciate people listening, and hopefully you will enjoy the song that you're about to hear. 1 second. Okay, I have moved from the bedroom to the loft where the keyboard is, and I promised you a parody song, so here you go. Thanks for listening. Show me the love, love, show me the love. I got some jokes about Superman that I think you're gonna like. I'll riff upon Madonna fans, that's a bit I hope you like. But I'm not quite sure that I'm funny, I hope you'll show me some love. I give you all I've got to give, maybe get a laugh or two. I may not have a lot to give, what I got it's all for you. But I'm not quite sure that I'm funny, hope you'll show me some love. Show me the love, whistle, clap and stomp your feet. Show me the love, email, text, tweet. Started telling jokes as a little tyke, I got in trouble all the time. Then somebody goofed and handed me a mic, oh, and now this stage is mine. But I'm not quite sure that I'm funny, hope you'll show me some love. Show me the love, whistle, clap and stomp those feet. Show me the love, email, text, tweet. Say you don't need Jim Gaffigan and we'll get along alright. Let me try to make you laugh again and we'll have a real great night. But I'm not quite sure that I'm funny, hope you'll show me some love. Here we go. Time to give this song a rest, but I'll come back here now and then, if you're lucky. And tell your friends this was the very best hour and a half you've ever spent. Except it's just an hour. But I'm not quite sure that I'm funny, hope you'll show me some love. And that's this week's show. Be nice to each other. Own the stage that you're on. And we'll see you next week.